Good morning. We've met here today on the Lord's Day to bring our praise, our adoration, and our worship to the one true and living God. The psalmist encourages us to lift our thoughts and our hearts and our minds to him. The psalmist writes, Psalm 36, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Praise God, there is light, and there is life, and there is hope in our God this morning, all through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing to his praise now, number 8 in Christian hymns on the wall behind me. Praise to God. High in the heavens, eternal God, thy goodness in full glory shines. Thy truth shall break through every cloud that veils and darkens thy designs. Let's stand if we're able and worship our God together this morning. Number 8. God, as we bring our praise and our prayer to him. Gracious and living God, what a joy it is this morning to sing your praises and to be reminded that you are the God of infinite power, infinite being, the God of all creation, the God who made all things by your wisdom, and yet a God who is concerned for your world, Lord, a God who provides care and sustenance and nourishment. We thank you, Lord, that you are the El Shaddai God, the God who provides, the God who's overflowing with abundant mercies and kindness and grace. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ came as that full and final living word, that revelation from yourself. As we read in the eyewitness record of your servant John, that no one can ever see you because you are spirit and you are God. But the one who is with you, even the Son of God, even the very beloved there in the Trinity, has made you known. Lord, what a glorious truth that is this morning. We thank you that the Son of God came full of grace and truth, full of your mercy and your love. Lord, we are so poor. Sin has impoverished us. Lord, we are so weak. We are just frail human flesh. We are fallen by nature. We are separated from you, Lord, by the sin in our hearts, by our rebellion. Lord, the pride that is there. But we thank you, Lord, that you have seen us in our lost state. We thank you, Lord, that you've cared so much for your people. We bless you, O God, that you are a God who is love and that you have so loved this world that you sent your only begotten Son. Lord, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We thank you that, Lord, in him is life, eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that he took upon himself the wages of sin, which is death, and then destroyed death by rising from the dead. We praise you, O God, that he ever lives for all who will call upon him. We thank you, Lord, that this morning as we meet here, we have one who is our mediator, the one who through whom that we come as a sinful, fallen people, and you are holy God. We thank you, Lord, you provided such a glorious mediator for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken our sins away, if we are trusting in him, and made us right with you. We thank you, O God, for that great gift of his righteousness, that even though he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him, that, Lord, we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you, Lord, for such a Savior, full of grace and truth. We thank you, Lord, that he is one who said of himself that he is meek and lowly in heart. Lord, not a harsh taskmaster laying down the law which we know we should keep but cannot keep, but one who is kind and gracious and merciful. We thank you, Lord, that he fulfilled that ancient promise, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. And Lord, maybe we feel like these things this morning. We feel weak, we feel anxious, we feel uncertain in the days ahead. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great promise that your people of old were taught, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Over us is the great wing of your mercy, of your sovereign grace, and we are protected in the shadow of that wing. Lord, we pray this morning that as we come before you, that we might be awed again by, yes, your awesome nature, but also your kindness, your love that you have demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, O God, that you would cleanse us and forgive us from all our sins as we think back on this last week. We realize, Lord, that we've not loved you as we should have done. We've been distracted by many things. We may even have fallen into sin and waywardness. Lord, the things that we have perhaps said or thought or even done. Lord, we ask again that you would cleanse us and forgive us. We turn again to the cross. We remember that promise, Lord, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, purify our hearts and our souls this morning and prepare us, we pray, for this time of worship, for hearing your word, for being reminded again of the great glory of Emmanuel, God with us, that, Lord, we might receive a blessing from yourself, but that, Lord, you might have all the glory. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, please turn to God's word and to the New Testament. And a short reading, firstly, from Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 1 and verse 18. If you've got a hard copy of the link, that Little Hill link, you'll find it's printed on the left-hand side there. So Matthew chapter 1, and we'll just read from verse 18 to verse 25. Let's hear God's word this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Amen. Well, let's sing to God's praise again from Christian Hymns, number 169. 169. Glory be to God on high, and peace on earth descend. God comes down, he bows the sky, and shows himself our friend. Glorious words to praise God this morning. We'll stand before Abel and worship God together. Our second reading. Thank you.
The Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. And verses 26 to 38. And I read. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he said to her, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, all favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me, to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen.
Amen. Before we hear from God's word, we'll sing another hymn, and it is 574, 574. "Our firmer foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is made for your faith in his excellent word."
Our firmer foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is made.
before Fakir comes, the boys and girls, you need your talk, so do you want to come up and we'll have the children's talk? Sorry, that was slightly out of order.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you to come to the front yet, but never mind. What is that? A manger? What is a manger? What's a manger? Something animals eat out of. Now, at the time of Jesus, Bethlehem, there wouldn't have been one manger. There would have been hundreds of mangers. Because all the farms would have mangers to feed their animals, and people would have things like horses or donkeys at home because they didn't have cars. They might have a cow at home for milk. Lots of people would have had mangers. Now, round the room, there are lots of pictures of mangers. And I want you to see if you can find them, right? Bring them back to me. Go. Go on. Go and see if you can find some mangers. They're all over the place. There's lots of them. Oh, no, there's more than one. You need a lot more than one. There's loads of them. You keep going around the back and the front and the sides. And there's none on the platform, but there's loads around the back. Yeah? Can you see some more? Go and have a look. Go and have a look. Any more? All right, bring them back then. Let's see how many you've got. How many have you got? Oh, four. All right, you sit down with those.
No,
you've got a big pile. You'll have to count them because you can count. Have you got one? And you've got three. Right, now I want you to have a look at them because one of them is different. Who's got? Oh, you've got the one. Oh, right. Well, I tell you what, we'll do a swap. If you give me yours, and I'll give you, oh, you can have two. Right. You know what these are? These are like great big chocolate buttons. Do you like chocolate buttons? You do. Oh. You can have those then. All right. And your daddy will open one for you. Oh, you've got loads. Oh, you. Now, because you've got the special one that's different, you could have a bag full, all right? Now, mangers. Right, let's think about mangers, all right? Well, is due to off. Do you like some? You would. Come on, then. Come on. Toby. There you are. All right. The shepherds were outside Bethlehem at night, looking after their sheep. It would be boring, because the only thing they could do is count the stars. Have you ever tried to count the stars? There's an awful lot of them to count. There was nothing to do. But suddenly, on this night, the sky was full of light. They wouldn't know what was happening. I think they'd be frightened, because it was so bright. And then suddenly, what appeared in the sky? What appeared? An angel. And this angel spoke to them. And this angel said, don't be Don't be afraid, don't be frightened. Well, I think they'd be terrified. Absolutely terrified, but he said, don't be frightened. He said, God is doing something special tonight. God has sent a Savior, Christ the Lord. And he is born. The angel appeared in the sky, God sent him. And the angel said, Christ the Lord has been born. And you'll find him in a manger, exactly. And then suddenly, instead of there being one angel, there was hundreds, thousands, the sky was full of them. And they're all singing. And it must have sounded absolutely wonderful. It must have been the best singing there's ever been. You don't think so? Oh, I think it would be. I think it would have been the best singing there's ever been on earth. But then, the angels left. And the shepherds thought about it. And they thought about this message, that there would be a baby in a... in a manger. And they said this baby will be wrapped up in strips of cloth, a bit like bandages, in a manger. And so they decided, we're going to have to go and find this manger. So they hurried off. And they must have looked at hundreds and hundreds of mangers. Loads of them, tens, 20, 30 minutes. There was loads in Bethlehem. But they eventually found one with a baby in it. The animal's egg, it was a stable. And they went and worshipped the baby. And this baby was... who was this baby? Jesus, God's Son. And that is the wonderful thing that we remember at Christmas. Now, after they'd seen the baby, they didn't go back to their field. What did they do? What do you think they did? They didn't go back to their fields. They went and told everybody. They had such an exciting evening. It was so brilliant that they went and told everybody, probably everybody that they knew, and loads of strangers as well, all about these angels and all about finding the baby and all about who this baby was going to be. A Saviour. This was Jesus. Now, we're going to have a song about this, but the song is... we're just going to sing the first verse. And it says, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. What is a crib? What is a crib? Yeah, it's a cot, a place where babies sleep. And instead of that, Jesus was in a manger. Yeah. And that's why it's at the bottom, asleep on the hay. Because Jesus was in a manger, asleep on the hay.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Well, it's good to see you, and we're going to look at God's Word together. And the story which Travis just spoke about, the shepherds, and it's taken from Book of Luke, as you know. And we're going to read that passage of Scripture together. So if you turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to read from verse 8 and to verse 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered as what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all those things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's ask God's help in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we are able to meet together, that we have this great news of great joy, that the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, became man and dwelt on earth. We thank you for these revelations you made to shepherds, and we pray that as you spoke to the shepherds through the angels, we ask you will speak to us through your word, that we might hear it and believe it and act on it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, over the last 2 years, the fear of catching COVID-19 has been added to our list of things which concerns us. There was used to be a great fear of nuclear war, and then there came the fear of global warming, and now we're living in days of fear of catching COVID. Many have seen and heard Prime Minister speaking to us that how we need to go and get jabbed. This is not a political broadcast. I'm just saying what has happened. And this has increased fear in the minds and hearts of many people. We begin to ask ourselves, will we or will not we catch this virus? And the number of deaths claimed by this virus continues to mount day after day, and it's quite frightening when you look at the figures. And we also think of what impact it has on us individually, and those who catch the virus, and even those who don't catch the virus, it has impact on the society as well. And what a privilege we have of continuing to be able to meet together. But we ask question, Will we be able to see the family this Christmas? Will we be able to visit the neighbors and our friends? And there's an increase in the number of people affected by mental health and of long COVID. So they say general fear all around us, and many people are afraid. A couple of weeks ago, John brought us this message of great joy, which he spoke to us that the Christian message and the gospel message is a message of joy. And indeed, the angel spoke and said, "Fear not, for behold, I'll bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And as we look at the message which the angels brought to the shepherds, how should we react to it? How should we receive it? It's a message of great joy. And there are still people who are afraid. And I want to have a look at what fear is and what causes us to be afraid. And every human being, we can say, has experience of fear. And it is manifested in different ways in each person. And sometimes it can cause a real pain, undiagnosable pain. It can make us frightened, make us our stomach churns. It could cause us rash to appear. All these things can happen in reality in our bodies and also in our mind. And there's also fear of people wanting to know what's happening in the days to come, what the new year going to bring. There are some of you waiting for the results from the hospital tests and wondering what's going to happen there. There's a real genuine concern, as we said, about COVID-19 and being spread in the rest of the country. And some wondering, well, if I catch it, how would I cope with the illness? What will happen to me? Who will look after me? And how it will affect myself and my family as well. So fear, indeed, is very real. And as we approach in this Christmas time and have carol service this afternoon, and I want to have a look at the characters in the Nativity, characters we read about a few minutes ago, and see how they reacted to fear. And the first character we read to us was Luke chapter 8, 1, verse 8 to 15, was Zechariah. And as we know, Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, and he was serving as a priest, and they had no children. And they were getting on a bit. They were getting too old to have any children. But we read earlier, and he had a vision of an angel as he was in the temple, and he was terrified. And he was terrified. Let me read to you verse 10 to 13 again. "And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of the incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you should call his name John.'" And that was a real experience of Zechariah. And he saw an angel there on the side in the temple. And he heard angels speak to him. And he was really afraid. I believe in angels, don't you? That they are gods, they're God's agents, and they serve and worship God, and they sing praises to him. But there's another side of angels, isn't it? Angels which come alongside and help us day by day, believing Christians There are angels all around you 24/7. And they are helping you, they're supporting you, they're encouraging you, they're alongside you. Because that's what the Bible tells us. But they are invisible normally, aren't they? And we don't see them, but they are alongside us. But here we have Zechariah. He wasn't just seeing obviously he couldn't see an invisible angel. Here he saw a real angel, and he was terrified, and fear fell upon him. So there's a real fear with Zechariah. So we got Zechariah. Then we have a situation with Mary. And Mary records in verse 26-33 of Luke chapter 1, which was read to us, an angel Gabriel was sent to speak to Mary, no other than angel Gabriel himself. And Mary, we know that she was a young woman. She was engaged to Joseph. And the engagement was very different from the engagement which we have these days. And it was like being married, but without any physical, without being physically intimate. And we read in Luke, and he said to her, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled and saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So here we have Mary. And Mary experienced a real vision, physical appearance of angel Gabriel. And she has this message. And we know that Mary was afraid, because the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." So she was frightened when she saw angel Gabriel. And we are also told that she was troubled, greatly troubled. Her mind, her stomach were churning up. She was full of fear. And she was afraid. So then we have Joseph. And again, we read to us Matthew chapter 1, 18-21. What do we know of Joseph? We know very little of Joseph from his own words. He's what I call a quiet man. There's no record of Joseph speaking. And he responded to the news that Mary was going to have a baby. And he was visited by an angel of the Lord. And Matthew recorded that for us in Matthew chapter 1, 18-21. We told, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So here we have Joseph, and he is afraid of the consequences of Mary being pregnant. And he was afraid what he should do. An angel of God appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid." He was also afraid. So we have these characters being afraid of what was going to happen or what has already happened. Then we turn to Luke chapter 2, which we read earlier on, And these men who looked after the flock in open day and night, Luke tells us, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "I fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherd here. And the first word the angel uttered is, "Fear not." fear not, because they were filled with fear. So we have all these characters, all these men and Mary, and the angel appeared to them. They were full of fear. So being afraid and being fearful does not indicate a person's spiritual condition. There are some people going around and saying, because you are afraid of situation, because you're concerned and you're troubled, you're not being a spiritual person. We see, look at these people who are afraid and they experience fear. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Let me tell you about what the Bible says about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were righteous before God. What a message that is. That we have these two godly people. They were righteous before God. They did right in according to the law of God. They kept the commandment of God. They worshiped God. More than that, you know, particularly concerning Zechariah. Zechariah served as a priest in the temple of the Lord, because that's where the angel appeared to him. And so he was a spiritual man. He was a godly man. He's the one who kept the law. The both of them were people God loved. Although he was old, he continued to serve God even in his old age. So he didn't say, I've done enough, I sit back, I enjoy the rest of my life. No, he continued to serve God. They couldn't have any children because he was getting on and Elizabeth was getting on. So character of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were walking blamelessly before the Lord. That's another word which is used. Can you think of a better way of life before God? That walking blamelessly before God and being used by God in that way. But Zechariah was afraid. He experienced fear, as we said earlier on. And though he was blameless, though he was righteous, but he experienced fear. Look at Mary. Mary was afraid of the same angel Gabriel who spoke to her. And the scripture tells us that God was really with her and she was favored one. We read in verse 28, she was chosen by God, she was favored by God. I'm not saying she was sinless, because that's not what the scripture teaches. But she loved God with all of her heart, with all her mind. And she was favored by God. And in verse 28, we also see that she knew the presence of the Lord with her. So she was a chosen person by God, have the Son of God to be born through her. But she experienced fear. She was also afraid. She wasn't a weak believer. She wasn't less spiritual. This young teenager was chosen by God himself. And what a wonderful response we hear from Mary in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, I am servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She accepted everything in faith, but God told, she didn't question what the angel said, only to find out how on earth this is going to happen. But soon as angel explained to her that God, the Holy Spirit, will be with her and she will have a child, she accepted it wholeheartedly. You can be fearful and faithful at the same time. And that's what we are told about Mary. So if you move to account in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, 21, we're looking at Joseph. So what do we know about Joseph? We are told in verse 19 that Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a righteous man, and he obeyed all the religious laws, such as bringing Jesus to the temple, and he made all the appropriate offering. He did all that was right. He was just man. He obeyed God, and he was a righteous man. He did things according to what God wanted him to do. But we also see that he didn't just keep the law. He was also moved in his own heart, that he was a considerate man. You see, Mary was fine, the woman he was engaged to, betrothed to, she's pregnant. What was he going to do? His immediate reaction would be, she being unfaithful. And being unfaithful means that he could have gone to the local religious community and, according to law, could have stoned her to death. That is, would have been his right thing to do. He could have done that. If he wanted to be vengeful, he could have called upon those people and have her stoned. Instead, Joseph decided to deal with the matter quietly. He decided to do it in a very considerate way, taking her into account, taking everybody else into account. He would have got a stick from the community, being engaged to Mary, and knowing that he was not the father. So how do you deal with people who appear to openly defy the law of God? And how do you deal in such sort of situation? And how do you deal with people who let the Lord down, and the church down, and his people down? How do you deal with such situations? We are told how Joseph dealt with it. He got the stick from the religious people and from the community. He was more concerned about Mary. And it's a difficult decision for the church to make. And we need to be bearing that in mind when such issue arises in the life of the church. We are also told that he was obedient. He chose to obey the directions he had received in a dream. He went ahead and got married to Mary. But he did. That was the right thing for him to do. So we have Joseph. He was just man. He was a considerate man. He was an obedient man. But he was a fearful man too, wasn't he? That he was afraid when angel appeared to him. So moving then onto the shepherds. And we don't know, again, very much about the shepherds, do we? They would be normally, I'm not saying they would normally be uneducated people and would be physically strong. They protected the flock from the wild animals or hustlers. Remember David when he was on earth, and he was a shepherd, and he says sometimes he had to fight the bear and the wolf and so on, and the lion. And there he would be strong. And here we have shepherds in the New Testament era. And I would think they were very similar. And they would eat, sleep in turn, so they could protect the sheep from dangers. And we can learn something from the way they respond to the heavenly visitation. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. and surrounded them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were given good news of great joy, which is followed by a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. What a glorious experience they had. Angels singing praises of God, and they are so excited. They did not hang around, but went with haste to find the baby. We heard that bit earlier on in the children's talk. They didn't hang around, they went out and wanted to share the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world is born. Do you know, we have the same good news. We have the same good news. That Jesus, the glorious, powerful person, God became man. And he's also the Savior of the world. The shepherds go out and tell everyone else of the good news. Are we so excited that we want to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? They did. And let us do the same in that way. So you could, the being afraid doesn't relate to your spiritual condition or your spirituality. So what do we do with our fears? How do we deal with them? As a non-medic, I only have a limited understanding of what causes fear. Fear can be a natural thing and can provide a learning process for future protection. For instance, we tell children, don't we? Don't do that because you'll get burned or you get hurt or you trip over and that sort of thing. We say that and they could be afraid and learn through that way. And there are also people who are afraid all the while. And they have certain conditions, like certain phobias, you know, agoraphobia or the fear of insects and fear. They're genuine fears. And they are concerned about that. Here we have a sudden appearance of the angels, appearance of God's messenger. And it's a good thing to be moved by a sudden appearance of the heavenly being. And I think it's right that we can be or be fearful of certain things. For instance, it's good to have the fear of God. It's good to have a fear of God. We need to take care that we do not continue to live sinful life and then call ourselves Christians. I was reading Hebrews chapter 10. Perhaps you'd like to read with me Hebrews 10 and verse 26 to 31. This is what God's word is saying to us. If we are Christians, we profess to be believers, and this is what he says. For if he go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, and again the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's addressed to the believers, addressed to those who continue to sin. And he says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hand of the living God. So we need to be careful that we don't continue and deliberately carry on sinning, because say, it's the fear of God which is here. then it's a good also to be fearful if you're not a believer. The Bible says this, that we all have sinned in our own ways. We do different things wrongs before God. But God has provided a remedy for all of our sins. And it is a sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think it's wrong to be talking about bloody sacrifices at this Christmas time. But it's the very purpose the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to be a sacrifice for our sin. Peter says this, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of lamb without blemish. Then Hebrews 9, but as it is, God has prepared, he has appeared once for all at the end of ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Then we have this glorious promise that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sin. You see, we all have sinned. We all stand in the judgment of God. But God has provided that sacrifice in his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the one who cleanses us, whose blood cleanses us. And John says, it doesn't matter what you've done, what difficulty and problem and sinful you've been, but if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood will cleanse us from all of our sins. So if we are a Christian, you need to have a continuing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God never promised a life without pain, without difficulties, without disappointments, but he does promise us to be with us in all of our experiences. No matter what we're going through, no matter what lies ahead in 2022. And how many times we hear the Lord Jesus say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Take heart, Matthew 14:27. Jesus spoke to him saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. After crucifixion, women who went to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were afraid because the angel spoke to them. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And Jesus, speaking at the great commission which he provided for his people, in Matthew, we read, when I get the passage, 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Remember what we're going through, no matter what experience you might have, remember what difficulty you might have in 2022. Remember the Lord Jesus is with you. When you go out and preach, when you go and witness, I am with you because you're fulfilling the Great Commission. We have great promises from God's Word. Isaiah 43, I'm sure we are all familiar with it. This is what he says. Now this is what the Lord says, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. One thing we know, God can't do. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And here we have promise in Isaiah. We also look at the promises in the New Testament, that when you go through the difficulty, when you go through the water, when you go through the flames of fire, God says, I will be with you. So, what are we going to be doing as we come through, as we conclude? Let us all act like Joseph and Mary. Let us have his character, though being fearful, but we need to be obedient to God's law and God's commands, and have that faith Mary had. Let it be according to your word. As we go into the new year, we need to put into practice the manner how Joseph dealt with Mary. We need to be thoughtful, we need to be gentle, we need to be considerate of others. Let us also respond like the shepherds. Rejoice over the birth of Jesus. It's a great news of great joy. Let us rejoice. Let's celebrate this. It's a message of great joy. And as shepherds immediately left everything, went to worship the baby Jesus, let us all. They were afraid. Let us all, like the shepherd, gather together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us all meet together. If at all possible, let us come together to worship him. They did. And we should do the same. And they also went out and proclaimed the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us remember the presence of God as we go through Christmas period, and know that God is with us. He is, after all, Emmanuel. So we have great message through the angel to different people then. We're going to sing together. It's hymn number 161, Angel from the Realms of Glory. Bring your flight over all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. So let's all, if possible, if you're able to stand, do. So it's Angel from the Realms of Glory.
Yeah.
bless you, appeared 2,000 years ago in a manger. We pray that you continue to be with us even now and help us to remember the very purpose you came, to be the Savior of the world. We want to thank you. We're truly grateful, and we eternally grateful to you. Help us to sing praises to you and rejoice. And we ask that your presence will be continue to be with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do stay.